Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back with me as we make our way through the Christmas season. We celebrated Christmas. Christ is born into the world. We said it yesterday. Every day on the act of Christmas, we're saying it again and again and again. Jesus Christ has come into the world. This is the best news ever. It's why we're here. It's why we're living. It's why we're breathing. It's why we have a new destiny in the Lord. Jesus Christ has come. Thank you, Lord, for coming into the world. And in this Christmas season, we want to live in that. We're so used to moving on. We're so used to even moving on to the New Year's and what's our New Year's resolution and we got to get back in the gym and all of this kind of stuff. And just stay, friends, in Christmas. The light has come. Stay in Christmas of what God wants to do in you. What does he want to do in you? What does he want to do in your family? How is he calling you to celebrate, to go deeper with him? Maybe there's a way that him coming to you as a humble child is a particular way that you need to receive him in your life right now. Maybe reflect on the humility of Jesus. But if you're with us yesterday as we began this week, we're going back to December 26th to the readings right after Christmas. And we're focusing on that this week because we're seeing, what is the church communicating to us? What is the church communicating to us about what it means to follow Jesus? Because the church tells us something in the readings that she gives us. And so we saw yesterday, immediately after Jesus' birth, the next Mass, we're hearing about the martyr Saint Stephen. And so the church is doing this juxtaposition. Jesus is born into the world as a baby. We're rejoicing, all this kind of stuff. And then the next thing we see is a martyrdom. And it's kind of this thing, it's kind of a classic Catholic thing. You know, it's like, wait, I thought we're celebrating. I thought we're in an octave. Why are we talking about this martyrdom? Why are we talking about this person getting murdered, getting killed, you know? And it's the church is showing us, this is what it means to follow Christ, the one who has come into the world. Immediately, we see this martyrdom of St. Stephen, and St. Stephen is living out someone who is radically in love with the person of Jesus. And it shows us that the economy of the kingdom switches everything upside down, that when Jesus comes into the world, what is good, what is valuable, what is just, what is true, what is right, is now by God's standard. And so Jesus comes into the world as a humble child, as a baby born in a manger, born into darkness, becoming the light of the world, changing the entire landscape of the world. And he says he comes as a king, but as a king who is a baby. And so that's this unexpected vision of greatness. And then the church does it again the day after with St. Stephen and getting stoned to death. That doesn't seem very great, does it? But the church is saying, here's another vision of greatness. A humble man full of grace and power gives himself to die for Christ. This is Christ's vision of greatness. To lay down your life, to be humble, to come as a child like Jesus did, and then to lay down your life. To lay down your life. Amen. So let's pray, and we're going to reread the passage we read yesterday and get into some more about St. Stephen's martyrdom and see what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, your birth ushers in a whole new reality. Your birth ushers in the kingdom, that the very kingdom of God has touched down on earth. Heaven and earth have met in your coming, and you bring us God's kingdom. Make the kingdom alive in us and show us through St. Stephen what it means to be great, the true greatness of God alive in man. Through martyrdom, through laying down of his life, we see this witness of Stephen. Help it to take root in us and help us to grow in greatness in the kingdom. We ask all this in your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, Acts 6, I'm going to read 6, 8 through about 13 or 14. Stephen, filled with grace and power, was working great wonders and signs among the people. Certain members of the so-called synagogue and freedmen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and people from Cilicia and Asia, came forward and debated with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. And then I'm going to go over to this is not in the reading. So if you're reading on the OCCB, I'm jumping to the Bible now. Verse 11. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stops speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like an angel. Again, we're going to stop there. Yesterday we began, and we just got through two lines. Stephen was filled with grace and power. And if you go listen to yesterday or hear a little background on Stephen, that he was ordained a deacon. His intended role was to be a server at table because the apostles didn't have enough time. They didn't have enough hands. They needed more help in serving the people. And here's Stephen, he's serving the people and he's evangelizing. And so he's filled with the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. He's not working on his own strength, but on God's strength. And he's working great signs and wonders. And just decide, God is calling you in the power of the Holy Spirit to work great signs and great wonders. And so he begins to get into debates with Jews. He's there in the temple and they begin to debate with Stephen. And what are they debating about? They're debating about the law. This is a little pre-Paul situation, right? And we'll see later that Paul is Saul still. And he's orchestrating this whole thing at this time when Stephen is martyred. Paul is still Saul and he's chief rabbi and he's leading the charge against the Christians. And so we saw the persecution of Peter and John in prison, and now we're seeing the persecution of Stephen. And so they go and they're debating. Can you imagine like being in your place of work or being somewhere and you just are spending the day like debating people about Jesus, and people are coming up and they're being like, "No, that's not right, da da da." And you're debating about the gospel. You're debating about who is this man, Jesus. Because it's not that long since Jesus had lived. And so people knew about him. It was this canon cosmic event. Jesus came and he was crucified and there were whispers about it. Not just whispers, but it was like, who was that man? And so the apostles take up the mantle of preaching and the other members of the church, they're going around and they're like, "Remember that guy that got killed in a Roman crucifixion? That guy actually was the real thing. We believe, maybe you've heard rumors." And this is probably what Stephen was saying. "Maybe you've heard rumors about who he was, but he was the Son of God. He was the one we have been waiting for." Stephen was a Jew. He was a Jew who came to believe in Christ. And so he's debating with the other Jews saying he was the Messiah. He was the one who we've been waiting for. So they're going through the Jewish scriptures and they begin to respond. It says they could not stand up against the wisdom with which he spoke. So they're debating and arguing with him. But remember, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He's not just a good talker. He's not just a good convincer, but he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And because they could not stand up against him, they begin to plan to kill him. And this is what we begin to see in the pattern of the scriptures. We see from the beginning, Jesus comes into the world. And Jesus, from the moment that his birth is announced, he begins to be hunted. He's a threat to the leaders. He's a threat to the leadership of the world. He's a threat to the kingdom of the world. And even though he comes as a baby, he's still a threat. What does Herod do? What have we seen in the Christmas season? Herod plans to have Jesus killed, so he kills all the firstborn sons. And Mary and Joseph have to flee because Jesus is being hunted, that even his presence as a baby, his humility, with him, he brings the kingdom of God. And so the earthly rulers, the ones who have been in power, they know that the presence of Jesus brings a threat to the earthly regime, brings a threat to earthly power, brings a threat to the kingdom of this world. And so Jesus from the beginning is opposed. He's hunted. They try to kill him. And then the church is saying immediately after Christmas, this is what happens with the followers of Jesus. That when you are functioning with grace and power, the kingdom of God is in you and you become a threat to the kingdom of the world. So even with Stephen, those who were in power in the Sanhedrin, the Jews that were in power, the presence of God that Stephen is bringing, the reality that Jesus is the Messiah and people believing in him, this power that is not of this world but is of God, is a threat to the rulers of this world. And so they begin to hatch a plot. The same thing that happens to Jesus begins to happen to his followers. And the church is telling us, look, it's not a depressing thing. It's not like, oh my gosh, this is going to happen to us. But he's saying, if you follow Jesus, if you truly believe in the incarnate word and you let that word take root in your heart and you let it begin to change you and transform you and move you and all of these different things, then actually something will begin to happen to you. You will be filled with grace and power, and opposition will arise. In verse 9, it says that opposition arose. Opposition arose to the Sanhedrin because power was working. And so the members of the synagogue, they say now opposition needs to arise against the powers of God. Because when God begins to gain traction on the earth, people will come against him. And so therefore they come against us. And friends, we need to be prepared for this and not surprised. And the church is trying to tell us, look, this is what happened to Jesus from the moment of his birth. The kingdom of God comes and presents a threat to the kingdom of the world. And so if you are truly carrying the kingdom of God, just like Stephen was, there will be opposition. And so they begin to lie about Stephen. They begin to go to other men and persuade and say, hey, we've heard Stephen speaking blasphemy. Because friends, the word of God is offensive to the mind that is not enlightened. The word of God is offensive to sin. It's offensive to the human heart. It's offensive to those who do not want to believe. And the word of God and the power of God and the movement of God and the kingdom of God draws out two things from people: response and repentance and submission, or offense. And when our hearts are offended in the wrong way, we rise up against God in pride. And this is exactly what's happening to Stephen. And so let's meditate on that reality, that Jesus is calling us to follow in his footsteps, and he had opposition from the beginning. And so to not fear when we have opposition in our lives, if we're truly carrying the kingdom of God. Join us again tomorrow as we continue on with reading about St. Stephen. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.